Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. And today I am joined by Senior Pastor Bruce Miller, Senior Associate Pastor Jaime Gonzalez, and two bonus pastors, Pastor Lori Wright and Pastor David Clippert Rowe. So I have the entire Christ Fellowship leadership team with me today because we are going to be celebrating Christ Fellowship's 26th anniversary. So today we're going to talk about the vision of Christ Fellowship and what our hope and prayers are for the future. And we're back. We are back from spring break. I am here with a table full of people. A couple of weeks ago, it was just me and Bruce, but today I have so many people sitting in front of me that we have more people than microphones. So we have Bruce with us and Jaime, as usual, but we also have Lori Wright and David Clippert Rowe joining us. The four people sitting in front of me are the lead team for Christ Fellowship. They're sort of the tip of the spear, the ones that take the elders' plans and make them a reality. And the reason we're all gathered here today is to talk about the 26th anniversary. Christ Fellowship is turning 26. So Bruce and a team started this church in here in McKinney. It was a church plant here in McKinney many years ago, and we've evolved and changed over the years. But what hasn't changed is the commitment to Jesus and the commitment to be all about Jesus. So this weekend, we are going to have a special sermon given by both Bruce and Jaime. It will be a bilingual service combining both the English and Spanish congregations all together at once in the main worship center. We're going to worship together in English and Spanish, and Bruce and Jaime are going to preach together in English and Spanish. So Jaime, talk to me a little bit about why we are doing it this way.
We're coming together as one family, as the body of Christ, to show the multifaceted grace of Christ. You know, Paul talks about how the body of Christ, made up of different people, languages, and nations, when we come together as the body of Christ, we show the awesomeness and the beauty of the love of God. And so we have a chance to show our city what God's all about when we come together as one family.
Yeah, and you think it about in a world that's so divided by so many things.
That's right.
We have so many boxes that we check that then separate us from other people. This is a great opportunity to say, hey, we're all part of the family of God. No matter how we live differently or what we think differently or speak differently, we're all God's children.
And that's going to be cool. We don't get to do it very often to combine our English and Spanish congregations. And some people don't realize we really are one church, two languages. It's not two separate churches. And there is no intent to ever separate. We are going to be united together until Jesus comes. And so this is one of those rare opportunities where we can get together. And we thought, how better to celebrate 26 years than to unite together in bilingual worship, a bilingual service that with one heart, we worship together.
Yeah. And we were saying it's going to be great worship. Having everyone together, singing in their own language.
A foretaste of what's going to happen in heaven when we get there, because the book of Revelation says that people from all nations, tribes, tongues will be around the throne worshiping. So that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, so if you are in this local area, you want to get to church on Sunday.
Yeah, you want to be there in person if you possibly can.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And that's a good point, Bruce, because I think a lot of people do think of they're not behind the scenes like we are. Like Jaime and Lori and David and Bruce all are on the lead team together. So you guys plan everything together. You talk weekly. You're in communication. When we have a ministry team meeting or when we plan services, we all do this together. And so it really is one church, two languages. And that's our heart to do it that way. So what are you going to preach on, guys?
Jesus. No, seriously, at Christ Fellowship, we are all about Jesus. That is our central value. That's the heart of what we're about, is Jesus Christ. No other person, no other value comes even a close second. And so one of the passages that exalts Christ is Colossians chapter 1. And the theme of the whole book is the supremacy of Christ, that he is number one in the universe and he should be number one in our lives.
Yeah. You started the church 26 years ago, and you told me that your very first message in 1997 was on Jesus.
That's right. March 16th, it was on Jesus Christ, and it included this passage in Colossians, among some others, but we wanted to start right with Jesus Christ. And so the title of the message for this coming Sunday is Still All About Jesus.
One of our core values at Christ Fellowship is all about Jesus. And that's one of the many things I appreciate about this church is we don't really get sidetracked by a lot of other things. We're not a church that gets political. We're not a church that is focused on just one issue or one type of person. We want everyone to come who wants to worship Jesus, and we want to keep him central to who we are and what we're about.
Colossians 1, 15 through 20. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Jaime, what's significant about this passage theologically, historically? Why is this such a key passage?
Well, historically and theologically, in the early church was wrestling with Jesus, a man, God, walking among them, and how could this be possible? Mm-hmm. Like today, we also struggle with how could Jesus be the Son of God? And there were those during that time that claimed to have some special knowledge, some special information, but Christ had already manifested and brought truth to all. And so the Apostle Paul wrote this book to be able to share the truth that Jesus is supreme above all with the pantheon of gods that existed during that time and in the Roman culture and also the Jewish culture wrestling with how can just man be God, Jesus be God. The early church had this book to be able to guide them and see that Jesus was supreme, was first. It's all about Jesus.
Yeah. He was there at the moment of creation, right? At the very beginning. So Jesus wasn't just a created being.
That's right.
That God created, which is still something a lot of sort of sects that have come off of Christianity believe, is that Jesus is just sort of he really is literally a son of God. And this is saying, no, he is God. He was there at the very beginning. So what's the so what, Bruce? What does this mean for us? So yes, this is a beautiful passage, uses beautiful language. It exalts Jesus. What does that mean for us in our lives?
Yeah, so many people, most everyone has a good view of Jesus. He's viewed positively in Islam and in lots of religions. Hinduism sees him as another God. But as Christians, we realize he is the one and only God. There is no other God-man, like you said, Jaime, like Jesus. And as Christians, most everyone recognizes that Jesus is our Savior, he's God, but often he's just a supplement to our lives. He's not the center of our lives. He is not supreme in our lives. He's a piece of our lives rather than us being a piece of his life. And so rather than seeing Christ as just one other part of your life, that actually he should be supreme in your life. When we realize the supremacy of Christ in the universe, then for us personally, that means we need to make him supreme in our own lives. And that changes everything when you live not for yourself, but for Christ. Paul said, where we want to be moving to in maturity is that it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, which is that it's not about my agenda or my will or what I want to do. I want to live for Christ's will, what he wants to do. So that more and more I'm transformed into the image of Christ so that I have his thoughts, his desires, his will, and my whole life is focused on Jesus Christ. Paul, when he summarized it, said, for me to live is Christ.
Yeah, and I think some people hear that and it rubs them the wrong way because they've been raised in this very individualistic culture, which is all about me being the most me I could possibly be, which has a kernel of truth in it. And that's why I think it resonates with people, which is, yes, you were created uniquely and special. And yes, God loves you very much, as the VeggieTales guy used to tell us. But you will be more you. You will be more who God designed you to be and who God created you to be when you are more like Jesus.
That's right. Rick Warren opened his famous purpose-driven life book saying, it's not all about you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we tend to think life is all about us. That's how we kind of started as little kids, thinking the whole world revolves around me. And it's such a rude awakening when kids discover that it's not all about them. And you go to school and you're with other kids and
you have to share the toys.
You have to share. You have to listen to the teacher. It's just really frustrating that the world doesn't revolve around you.
Yeah. But you know what? I think it also is a huge weight off of you. Because when you are living and you're defining everything, you're defining truth, you're defining what's best, you're defining for yourself, and you're supposed to find happiness within yourself, and that whole like follow your own heart kind of philosophy that's really popular nowadays, that's a tremendous burden because it means like everything falls on me and my ability to figure out for myself what is best.
And I think what you said a minute ago really is so important, Lisa, that we think that the true me is to live out my own desires. But our desires are often distorted and twisted, and who we are is really disfigured by sin and the fall and the brokenness of the world. So in Christ, we are transformed into his image uniquely as he's made each one of us, as Christ lives through us. Then we become the real person God created us to be, that we will be one day. But we are being restored into that image today, so that really, that as you said, the true identity of who we are, the really beautiful person that God's made you to be, is who you are in Christ, not who you are in just your own will and your own desires.
Yeah, and well, I think that's
sometimes I think, Lisa, that the Bruce, that the soundtrack of Colossians could be Jesus Take the Wheel. but in the sense that sometimes when we get into problems, that's when we want Jesus to be supreme in our lives. Hey, I need you, Jesus, right now. I'm going through difficulty. Mm. But this would be Jesus Take the Wheel every day of my life. Mm-hmm. Drive my life with your truth.
Yes.
I think that would be something that would be powerful to get to be able to live like that, where I'm not having to look at myself to be the center of guidance.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be God.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it seems like a really rough job. So I'm really pretty happy to yield. I should be anyway. I should be happy to yield control to him. Okay. So we are going to also, Bruce, one of the passages we're going to cover is part of Colossians 1, 28 and 29, which is he, meaning Jesus Christ, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. So, Bruce, I know you well enough personally to know that this really is your heart. This is really what you want, is that you really want to see that when you go up there every Sunday, and Jaime, you too, when you're proclaiming the gospel. And then, of course, Lori and David, as you guys are more behind the scenes, but you're just as impacted by the desire to see people come to maturity in Christ. So what I want to throw out there to you guys is, what does that look like? What does it mean to be someone? What does a mature person in Christ look like? And don't just say Jesus, because that's the easy answer.
Well, I was impacted by what Bruce and Jaime were saying a little bit ago. This the humility that comes with following Jesus translates into us being willing to put ourselves in the context of having other people talk truth into our life. And I was just thinking about that this past I guess it was yesterday. You know, we tell everybody on Mondays or on Sundays that we meet on Mondays in prayer. And guys, we really do that.
As a staff, yeah.
As a staff. But what I think the congregation doesn't know is that we have prayer teams that outside of praying for the prayer request, we pray for each other. And so one of the things that struck me as we were talking about, you know, growing and teaching and admonishing people in Christ, as the passage says, is our willingness to be humble and transparent with the people that God puts in our lives. And that's the process that Christ used to sharpen us and to make that transformation. I think a lot of times people just come and they sit on Sundays, are great messages, guys, every single Sunday. But the hard work is done in the context of meeting and growing with other people. And that's what Laurie and I and Bruce and Jaime, we spend a lot of time during the course of the week motivating our teams to go out and put processes and plans in place so that there are people that are actually growing in Christ. That,
right.
Rafe's team and Jaime's team on One Church, Two Languages, there's a lot of effort that's gone into and continues to go into creating opportunities for people to submit themselves to other people, to grow progressively into the likeness of Jesus. And that's hard work. And that's what we spend an awful lot of time doing behind the scenes Monday through Sunday. So,
yeah. Well, and Lori, clarify for us, is this just a staff thing that like we're the ones who are supposed to help people become mature, or whose job is it?
It's everybody's opportunity to be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And you were asking what does it look like? It's less of us and more of him. Mm. It's following what he has his plan for our lives. It's having an opportunity to reach out to others. And you know about our CF encouragers, and our CF encouragers, there's over 450 people that have signed up to be a CF encourager. And what that means is they are intentionally living out and having conversations with people where they can experience Christ through them. Mm-hmm. And I have heard so many wonderful stories of how not just the people that are on the receiving end, but people that are initiating those conversations, they have been so blessed. Through the IF conference, Lisa, all the conversations that the ladies were having, it was so beautiful. So it's not a burden.
Right.
And you're right, Bruce, it's not about us. It's really not about us, but my goodness, we get to be a part of it.
Mm.
And there's just no greater blessing than to live out the calling that Christ has given us. It's what we were made for.
Yeah. And I mean, you think about the staff of Christ Fellowship, how many people we have, David, with 35, I don't know, you probably know.
It's 41.
41 with two new babies on the way. We found out this week. Our families are growing.
Yeah, the team grows in September by two.
But yeah, so we have a great staff, but we are so limited in the number of people we can reach each week. You know, even if we spent, 10 hours a day out there just talking to people, having meaningful conversations, we would reach a fraction of our community. So that is what CF Encouragers is about. It's like we're empowering everybody.
Well, if you think about it, look inside our church on Sundays. Well, we have a great congregation. There's lots of people in there, English and Spanish services. But think about all the people that they know outside the walls of our building. And that's truly what our vision is all about, is going outside and living out the calling. It's not just coming into the building. Yes, you come in and get equipped, but then you go out and you live out the vision that God has called us to.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what the heart of this church is. We want to be people helping people find and follow Christ. And that means that we have to, acknowledge the important work people are doing in their own lives as everyone's seeking to help each other get more mature in Christ. So, Lori, as you read this passage, Lori, by the way, is our official vision pastor. As you've heard Bruce talking about Colossians 1, 15 through 20, how does the vision fit with that?
Well,
first of all, tell us what the vision is.
The vision is to reduce loneliness, anxiety, and addiction by having meaningful conversations where people experience Christ through us. And the most important part, it's all important, because obviously we'd love to have that end result to reduce loneliness, anxiety, and addiction, but it's really where people experience Christ through us. If we are a believer, we're all equipped to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We carry him around with us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We can all do this. So it's really, it's helping people, other people grow towards Christ likeness. Doesn't mean you have to have a degree in theology. You just have to be a believer and be faithful. And God grows us through that. He grows the other people, but he also grows us, and we mature as we do it. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. The more that we give to other people, the more we serve other people, the more we grow. And so if we're all just too busy racing to the bottom, right? Like you're serving me and I'm serving you and we're fighting to see who can serve each other more, we're all going to end up in the kingdom of God on top.
And we all have something to offer, no matter where you are in your walk. if you're a believer, you have something to offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. That's helpful. Okay, so talk a little bit about, you know, we when we started talking about celebrating the 26th anniversary, one of the things I remember us saying is, well, let's use this as an opportunity to look forward. You know, last year on the big 25th anniversary, we took some time to reflect back on the 25 years that had led up to it. But let's, on this occasion, look forward. So I wanted to invite you guys to help us do that. So where do you think we are as a church, and where do you want to see us grow? I mean, where do you want to see us move towards in the next year to 5 years?
And we feel like we've already made so much progress on the vision. We're thrilled that so many people have taken it seriously. And when Lori talked about more than 450 people being CF encouragers, we know so many more of you are encouraging people, but you may not have registered as a CF encourager. And we'd love you to do that, because we'd love to send more resources your way. So our heart really is that the majority of our church would be CF encouragers, that 1,000 people beyond 450, 2,000 people would be encouraging each other and reaching out beyond our church. And so we realize, you know, where that all starts is in our homes. Are we even encouraging each other in our marriages, with our kids, with our roommates, the people we live with? And so our direction looking ahead to the near future is to bring the vision home into our lives as singles, our lives as marrieds, as parents, as empty nesters, to our kids and students. We want our kids to live out the vision and for them to experience Christ. So looking ahead, we want to strengthen not only the homes of our church, for sure, starting here, but the homes of our community. And as we looked out and looked at where we are right now, post-COVID, the after effects in mental health, in marriages, that we're seeing more and more divorces, we're seeing more and more turmoil in marriages, and we're seeing conflict with children, with kids and students who were impacted by a year at home, lost learning, social development that was hampered in some way, excess amount of time on the internet doing school online that got them into places on the internet they shouldn't have been. And all of that has led to more alcoholism, more drug addiction, more loneliness. And so we feel like, you know, we need to start right in the homes of our community, that people who don't even go to this church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting. I had a few weeks ago, I had Jake and Cody in to talk a little bit about what's going on with students. And our big CDC report had just come out that week before, talking about the rise in suicidal ideation among young people, and the rise in, you know, negative thinking and anxiety and some of the things we talk about. And it just dawns on me, I'm like, you know, the way to reduce loneliness, anxiety, and addiction is to prevent them from happening. So if we could get to children and students before they develop some of these coping mechanisms that are unhealthy, if we could get them where they are maturing in Christ very early on in their lives, then perhaps we could truly reduce loneliness, anxiety, and addiction at its source.
Yeah, and you think about if things aren't good at home, it's really hard to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus when you're struggling at home.
Absolutely.
It seems like more married couples are roommates now than ever before. And I saw the CDC report also, Lisa, and it said that one out of three young girls have seriously contemplated suicide in the last year.
Yeah.
That's like a 60% increase over a decade ago. And it is huge. It's like, we need to be there for our families.
Yeah. And just a huge rise in sexual assault as well, that girls are experiencing, which again starts with, gosh, a multitude, that's a symptom of a multitude of problems that are happening, you know, in our homes, with people not finding connection with their family and with God, and living out these other kinds of, trying to find connection in other unhealthy ways.
Sadly, a lot of the sexual assault is in homes.
Yeah.
It's family members or friends.
Yeah. So bringing the vision home will require everybody. Right. That talk about something that the staff can't do. We can't come into your home and change things for you. And you don't want us to, because we have our own homes that we're trying.
You don't want to go into Lori's home. I'm just telling you that. Not with Rafe there. But But you're right. We have a staff of 41. And right now, I was looking at some numbers this morning, 6,600 engaged households at Christ Fellowship. That represents more than 6,600 people. And so there are little people from all ages in homes, moms and dads. And as Bruce said, those family units are pretty diverse. And so as we head off next week to plan for the upcoming year, we'll be focused on the core of our demographic. It'll be families with kids at home and parenting, and that singles that might be raising kiddos by themselves. It'll empty nesters who are not empty nesters anymore, that are back in the parenting game. We're going to be working through how we can equip more than just our staff to be able to bring that vision home and reduce what still are the predominant issues of today: loneliness, anxiety, and addiction. And the more that you read, I mean, the Lord really, we say this a lot, gave us this vision before loneliness, addiction, and anxiety were a thing. And now everywhere you turn, everywhere you read, it's about loneliness, addiction, and anxiety. And so we're ahead of the game in many ways, but we have so much further to go, as Bruce said, with the vision. And as I said, it starts at the core of our demographic as a church, which is families with children. And so we'll be spending 2 days offsite next week, walking through, brainstorming how we can equip the home, the people who live in homes, in our church, in our community, to address those issues that we've been working on and made significant progress this year.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yes, the whole ministry team is going off next week to do this. So y'all can pray for us, our dear podcast listeners. That would be fantastic. And let's answer the question, because what if someone's out there going, well, I want to be involved. What can I do? How can I be part of this vision? How can I be a part of what Christ Fellowship is going to do for the next 26 years? What would you say, Bruce? You gave us one thing already, and that is?
To be a CF encourager. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're not a CF encourager, Lori, let people know, how can you sign up to be a CF encourager?
You could sign up through the CF app and then just send me an email, lwright@cfhome.org. I did receive some emails last time.
Yeah.
Just say, I want to be a CF encourager, and I'll get you more information. We'll get you signed up and get you equipped, and we'll invite you to the Facebook page and whatever medium you choose. We've got resources for you.
Because we want to encourage you.
Yeah.
And probably you are already encouraging other people, whether they're Christians or not Christians. This is not an evangelism strategy. This is a helping everyone to find and follow Christ, to present everyone fully mature in Christ, like Paul says in Colossians, that begins right in our homes. Are we proclaiming the supremacy of Christ in our homes to each other as spouses, to our kids, to our roommates, to the extended family that may be living in your home?
Yeah. Well, people can't experience Christ in us if we aren't experiencing Christ.
That's right.
Otherwise, they're just experiencing us. That's so right.
I would say to that point, I think we've got to make sure that we're connected to the vine. I mean, that we are taking in the truth of who Christ is as a primary. I mean, if we're not spending time engaging God daily or individually, as a plug for Lisa and the work that she does, that's so very hard to pour out if you're not getting poured into. And I think sometimes if you're listening and you are a CF encourager, that's fantastic, but you might need to be encouraged.
Right.
And so, the Lord works in 360 degrees around us, and it's not all the giver of the encouragement. You might be somebody that needs to be encouraged, and we'd want to hear from you too. You can also email Lori on that. Just kidding. You can email of us.
Yes.
We would love to connect you with somebody that would breathe truth into your life and walk with you with whatever it is that you're walking with. And so,
yeah, if you don't know, we provide a daily devotional / study guide that goes along with the sermon series that you can get emailed directly to your inbox. You can find it on the app or on the website. And it's not long. It's maybe, 5-10 minutes a day. But you get to read the passage. You get a couple questions to get you thinking, some things you might want to discuss with someone else. And some study aids to help you understand the passage better. And because our heart really is for people to know the word, because Jesus is revealed. He is the word. He is revealed in this Bible. And so we want you to be in the word, and we want to make it helpful, because Bible study is not always easy. There's some parts of the Bible that are easily, a child can understand, and other parts, even the wisest theologians are still scratching their head over. So get in a group, learn with other people, and get in the Word. Yeah, that's good encouragement. What about you, Jaime? What would you encourage people to do?
I would just say group, Lisa. I think learning in a circle is far more enriching than in rows. Because mm-hmm. when you're hearing the sermon, I know that Bruce preaches awesome, and I think I do good.
You do
so,
a great job.
I've
heard reports.
You're above me, man.
I don't know. You speak in Spanish. You sound good. I don't know what you're actually saying, though.
He could be saying anything.
Well, just trust me. I think it's good. But the power of learning in group, you're hearing the Word, you're reading the Word, you're dialoguing the Word. The learning quotient just rises when you do that in a group, and you're able to sharpen. And so I'd say connect in a group, some mm-hmm. type of group, get into a circle where you're able to have people care and help you grow with Scripture. That's really, really important.
And it's like I told the ladies at If Gathering, we have an embarrassment of riches in mm-hmm. terms of groups at this church. Yeah. You know, we have women's groups, we have men's groups, we have life groups, we have care groups, we have mm-hmm. regeneration, we have reengage, we have Financial Peace University. I mean, there's a million ways for you to get connected with other people to learn and to grow. And because that's what we want. We want to provide those opportunities for you. Or you know what? Just get around a table with your family.
Yep.
You know, open the Word of God, maybe use the Engage God Daily to help guide you. But, you know, you don't have to, like Laura said, you don't have to have a degree in theology to get around the table and talk about the Word of God and really challenge each other to grow in Christ-likeness.
I was reading an article and it said that you are more likely to remember something that you've dialogued with others in a group, 70% more probable to remember it later on.
Yeah, I think that is 100% true. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've all been in school, right? How much do you really remember from your lectures that you sat through? But how much do you really remember when you got in there in a study group and you worked on it and you thought about it and you maybe wrote about it? It just solidifies those messages in your brain. Mm-hmm. Anything else, guys? Any last words? Any last words of encouragement? Or
I'd say come be part of the next 26 years.
Yeah,
I think our best years are ahead. We've just built a foundation. You can be part of the story and come be part of what God's doing.
Yeah, amen, amen. Well, Bruce, I'm going to toss it to you to do our prayer.
Okay. Lord, we're so thankful for these last 26 years and all that you've done. We praise you and honor you. Hundreds, thousands, and thousands of lives changed. Kids, students, adults of every kind and variety, English and Spanish and many more. And Lord, we pray for the future, that the next 26 years would be so much brighter than the first 26, and they would bear so much more fruit for you. Lord, we pray that you would grow each of us to be fully mature in Christ, that you might use us to help other people find and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, we will see you back next week.